It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so happy about today's guest here in Music's Journey. I have Manny Blue, fresh off his brand new release, New Ink. We're so excited about this one. Manny Blue's story is pretty inspiring with his incredible determination to bring his dreams to reality. He has just emerged from Nashville and Omni Sound Studios, which is pretty amazing. Some pretty big artists have come out of that one as well. So let's go right to the music, the lyrics, the story behind my very special guest, Montreal native Manny Blue.
Thanks, guys.
So tell us what has been going on, because I know that you've been getting ready for this new release, and this is such a big one for you, and that's called New Ink. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we recorded that last October. It was really fun to go through the process of doing something new and doing something that I really wanted to. We were looking to maybe release it earlier this year, and then with COVID and all that, we weren't sure how we would do it. And so now finally to have found the time to do it and be able to actually play on the release date has been really cool, and I'm happy that it's out and everybody gets to hear the whole project.
It's been received so well. So let's just go back a little bit, because you've got some really great international fans, and I know that our European base in UK and, we've got so many of them around the world right now, but a lot of your friends out in Nashville too. And you've done so well going across borders right now. And that's got to feel really, really good, considering your first album last year came out, and then to be this hot right now.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I love playing shows and I want to tour wherever we can. So if we can get fans, Canada, States, Australia, UK, Europe, I want to be able to do that. So I'm glad that it's been received well. And I was really proud of this project when we recorded it. And I couldn't be happier with the way that it's been received.
Yeah, because you guys are phenomenal as a live band. And that's that feel that you get with this new EP. And you can really tell that that's kind of what you were going for this one.
Yeah, well, the other album, the first one we did, was more based on stuff I was listening to, things that my friends and I were listening to. I think having toured with George Canyon and all that with the album and stuff, and having a new band from Nashville and all everything that, you know, they're inspired by and things like that, I think we were playing the songs a certain way, and I don't think that it sounded like the record, but I love the live versions of it. And I've got, you know, blues rock influence and love for that. My band has like rock influence, alternative rock, that type of influences. Mm-hmm. So I think that comes through in the live show. And I wanted to have an album that kind of showcases that a little bit. And if you come to a show, obviously we change up the songs a little bit live to keep it interesting. But I definitely wanted it to be something similar thing that you're going to hear if you go stream it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. You know, I think you've done a really, really great job with this one. You have such a huge fan base, you know, in the UK and, you know, in Australia. So like we reach so many people out there, but for some that may not know you, you didn't start out this journey with music in mind. You had, you know, a love of hockey, and then you know, at 16, you kind of really geared towards the MMAs. And, mm-hmm. you know, you did very well with that, but then you sustained an injury. So tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so like anybody growing up in Montreal, I grew up playing hockey, wanted to play in the NHL. When I realized that I wouldn't go as far as some of my friends or my brother, I had changed my idea and wanted to do MMA. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy who was doing karate, and we went to a UFC event at the Bell Center, and I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, so I wanted to participate in that. After 4 years of training and sparring and doing all the stuff, I ended up fighting and ended up winning, but tore my quad in the process. And having to take some time off, I wanted to keep myself busy, find a new skill. And guitar playing was one of it after I was inspired watching B.B. King play The Thrill Is Gone.
Oh, isn't it amazing? One of my absolute favorites. I love blues music, and that's why I think I'm kind of drawn to your voice, because you can really tell that that's had a huge influence with you, is the blues and the rock, because that I don't know, like that growly voice that you've got, it just reminds you of that. It just reminds you of the blues. And that kind of infusion into country is awesome.
Yeah, I've been having fun with it. I mean, I didn't know. To me, country was one thing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really exposed to anything other than like the top 40 hit type stuff. But after, you know, being in Nashville and meeting people and kind of understanding the history of Nashville as Music City, mm-hmm. There's so many different types of and styles in country, and so much history and so much, you know, different types of influences you can pull from to make country music.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely wanted to add some of that in this album.
Country's such a sweet place to be because it is like no other genre. And I know that there's a lot of crossover from rock and indie, you know, into like obviously even pop gets into, you know, country as well. Mm-hmm. But there's such an incredible welcoming to anybody that comes into the country genre. And, you know, that storytelling and just the camaraderie, especially here in Canada, other artists support everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are, how much they know you. They're the first ones out there twittering about you and any releases mm-hmm. that you have. How did that feel for you coming into from what you were doing in life and then coming into the music industry? Because that's a huge leap.
Yeah, it was different for sure. I got a great team down here in Nashville called 0-60
mm-hmm.
that my manager had started. It's an artist development company. And I met him in between recording my EP, my first one. So after we'd recorded it was all done. I went back home and we were on the phone and he said, "Hey, you got to be down here if you want to do this thing. I want to work with you here. And I think we can do some cool stuff." So I said, "Great." I had one more contracted show in Montreal and I said, I'll be down next week. And then literally that next week I was in Nashville.
That's a pretty, pretty incredible story because I know that when you were going through the recovery of your injury mm-hmm. and you picked up the guitar and you started playing, who were the influences at that time for you, the artists that really ignited that want to start in the music industry?
I think it was all of the guys that were on the top 40. So like a Thomas Rhett, Luke Bryan, FGL, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I didn't know more than that, right? Cole Swindell and all those guys. So I was just playing songs my buddies liked. They were like, "Hey, learn this song, learn that song, learn this song." And I was like, "Okay." So I did it. And then that's why the EP kind of has that sort of sound and that influence, because that's all I was playing. And I wanted to make an album my buddies wanted to listen to, like, you know, in the summer drinking beer on a boat or something, you know, gaining experience and understanding it and really falling in love with music and the history of Nashville is where I was like, you know what, I can actually do something different and infuse a couple of genres that I love into my music.
And you can hear that. Your soulful bluesy sound is just so cool. And you have that rock and roll music that just hits really hard. Like, you give a great performance. And you can tell that with your music, right? So that's what we hear. And that's mm-hmm. pretty cool for radio, because that's what they're looking for.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why you've been so well accepted. And you've gotten so many streams. And that's got to feel pretty incredible. Do you remember what that felt like the very first time you heard yourself?
Yeah, I do. It was weird. I was on the George Canyon tour. And we were going into radio to do interviews and stuff, and when I got there and I was just sitting in the studio and you know, they're running through all this stuff that they, you know, there was a song playing, and then they play my song, and I'm sitting in the studio at the radio and listening to myself before doing an interview was pretty cool. I didn't expect that, and so that was pretty surreal.
It's like nothing else, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Yeah, because like, doesn't matter what kind of career, and I guess it just depends on what's in your blood, because you've got some of this in your background too, with your grandfather, who really helped to show you that music was a possibility, because he earned his living for his family that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was. I didn't know that till I started playing music, actually. So it was really funny to know that there, or find out that he actually had been playing clarinet in a band on the weekends so that he can help his family make ends meet.
Did your grandmother play too?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so. But her dad was a boxer.
Oh,
so
really?
I didn't know that. And so when I was doing MMA, she told me that her dad used to be a boxer. And I was like, that's crazy. I didn't know that. And then I got into music and I find out my grandfather played clarinet in a band. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
It's in the genes, right?
I guess so.
That's awesome. Now, you solidified your sound, which, you know, I think everybody, you know, really recognizes out in Nashville, you know, and as well as your fans all over the world. And you solidified that sound with your release of Leave It Like It Is. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a cool album to have. I mean, I think stylistically, I've moved on from that. Mm-hmm. However, you know, my voice will always be my voice, and the way I sing will sort of always be the same. But I think stylistically from that album, what I got to learn was what I didn't want to do, I guess. So We played quite a few shows in that first year, and I was able to really know, like, okay, you know what, there's cool parts in this, and this has been fun, and it's crazy to be on a tour with an album coming out. That's an unbelievable experience.
Especially with George. And
with George, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, because that's a pretty big stage to get on with him, and, you know, mm-hmm. the fans absolutely adore him. And he's such a great guy to learn from. Did he ever share anything with you?
He did. He was great. So did Chris and Dave from Doc Walker.
Mm-hmm.
We were sharing a bus with them, so they gave us quite a few tips, along the way. It's a 2-month tour, so it was quite a bit of conversations about a lot of things, and just learning from those guys. I mean, George too. He was great. A real class act. We were in Kelowna, and my parents were flying all the way over, and he knew they were coming, so he let us play, you know, a couple more songs because of it, and I thought that was really cool from his end, and him and his team were really cool with us mm-hmm. the whole tour.
Did he play a practical joke like he does on everybody else?
He did.
What did he do to you? He does it to everybody.
So I didn't even want to confront him about it. I didn't tell him at all because I didn't want to give him the win. And so I still haven't. So this would, I think, only be the second time I actually say this publicly. But we had a Value Village night where everybody drew a name, and you had to dress. You had to go. I think there was like a price limit, and you had to dress whoever you drew. From the hat, you have to dress them up in some stuff, some crazy outfits from Value Village. So Chris from Doc Walker got me, and he put me in this. I was literally wearing a clock around my neck. I had these big baggy pants with suspenders, this like triple XL t-shirt. I had a red, you know, Canadian cowboy hat.
Oh my God.
I had like bead necklaces around my neck. I had sunglasses, pink sunglasses on. It was crazy. And so I'm just trying to go out there and you know, manage everything. I'm wearing this heavy clock around my neck. And George had put some numbing thing on my microphone.
Oh, no. That's an old one.
So here I am all dressed up. I got a clock around my neck. It's heavy. It's uncomfortable. And now I can't feel my lips. So we're starting off the song. I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. And then I see Chris and George in the corner filming it and just laughing. I knew they got me.
Oh, man. Did you hear anything about his practical jokes before you started?
I kept getting interviewed. And everybody was asking me, has George pulled a joke on you yet? And I said, no, I don't. Not yet. Not yet. And that came like towards the end of the tour. He had talked about it a little bit that he was going to get us. And he had gone the band. At some point, he had the sound guy make different voices and talk like and make fart noises and stuff in the band's ears. while we were in the middle of a show. He said he would never do that to me while I was singing, because that would be too, that'd be too much. And then a few shows later, he ends up numbing my lips.
You know how many people he's done that to?
If you tour with George, it's a BYOM. Bring your own mic.
Yeah, it was, though. That was the problem.
Always beware of that.
But it's his sound, it's his sound team, so they can do whatever they want to my mic.
Yep. He's done it to, like, any of the artists that have opened for him, especially when they're just coming out and don't know him. You know, he's done it to everyone, and we've gotten some really cool stories. I know Ryan Laird we just had on, and I've known Ryan for so long. And, you know, he got pranked pretty good, and then he gave it back to him, though. So I know
I didn't give it back to George. I was too afraid.
That's what everybody says.
He's quite an imposing person, and you don't know, like, he keeps, like, this really, you know, low key kind of monotone, like, not monotone, but he keeps this really low kind of character or whatever, and you don't know if he's joking or not. And I think he kind of likes that, and so he can he came on the bus one time just like getting mad at us. And then he just burst out laughing. We're like, we don't know what to think. Like, I'm not going after this guy. He's so imposing, and he's pretty big, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't get him back. I just kind of I took the L.
Well, Shane, did you meet Shane Gousset?
No, I did not.
So he wasn't playing that time. Okay, because normally a lot of the time he's on the road, you know, with George, and he got him back. You know, really good one time, and put nice. They put how many, like, over?
There was over 50 mouse traps that
oh my God.
Were in a bag backstage. So they set them all up around his mic and his footboard. So he walked out on stage to mouse traps all over the place.
Oh no!
It was funny. It was really funny.
And what Ryan Laird did, he waited until the very last concert of the tour before he got George back, and he dressed up as Woody from Toy Story, and bounced around on a hobby horse around him when he was singing "Good Day to Ride."
Oh, wait, we did get him back, kind of.
Oh, good.
He was playing a song. I just remembered when you said that it was George's bus driver's idea. And he's like, we got to, you know what, when he plays that, cause he would do like an acoustic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a song, Good Day to Ride.
Yes.
And we thought that it'd be hilarious if we all came out, you know, on floatable, like these floaties type of like unicorns. And so our legs didn't fit in the hole. So here we are. I think it was myself, my guitar player, and George's bus driver.
Oh, that's so funny.
And as he's starting the song, and it's kind, you know, he starts. It's quite an emotional song. You know, he really is getting into it. And then we ran out behind him, and had these inflatable unicorns.
Awesome.
But you heard him laugh, but he didn't break at all. It was unbelievable. Like, we heard him chuckle in the mic, but he kept singing the song, playing guitar, and didn't miss a beat. It was quite unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, he likes to horse around a lot when he's up there, and the fans enjoy that part of the show, right? Because he's always cracking off at one of the guys, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Is there any video of that anywhere?
Oh, man. I think, I don't know. I think I have one.
If you do, send it.
We'd love to see it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, send it to us. Because I'll put it in the article.
Awesome.
That'll put into your videos, the many videos that I posted for you. So there's a lot. So you've done some great, great work, and I'm glad you got him back a little bit. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes that.
It was fun. It was a really fun tour. Overall, I mean, just to be able to play night after night and just get better, you know, on stage and get some stage time. And then, you know, if things, you know, went right or wrong, you know, you can always go back to the drawing board and be like, hey, this didn't work, this didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, George, or hey, Chris, or hey, Charlie, you know, what, you know, here's the thing, like, what do you guys suggest? You know, what do we do? And so they were really, really cool about it.
Yeah, what a great tour to be on, because that's a huge opportunity to be able to open for George. And, you know, to be able to look at the great performance that he puts on. He's so relaxed up there. And nothing fazes him. Nothing fazes him whatsoever. And, you know, his live performances, people absolutely love him live. I know I do. And, you know, everybody that's seen him, that's just been one of his great strengths. So for you to be able to get any advice for him and to learn, you know, things to do for your live performances, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was just watching him, right? And just seeing how comfortable and how well he could just joke around with the crowd and just play the songs really, really well. And the cool thing was that he called it a kitchen party. So we actually had a table on stage that myself and the band were able to go up on stage and play cards with Charlie Major.
Oh.
While George is singing and playing, and we would just sit back and watch George do it. And then he would call Charlie up, and then he would come sit with us, and we, you know, we'd have a couple of drinks and play cards with the guys on stage while they were performing. So it was very a really cool, fun, laid back, casual environment to learn from, to learn in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I mean, it helped us out a lot, I could tell you that.
Well, because you just formed this band, because before, you know, when you were going to Nashville, you were going out there to learn to write. How was that for you? Because I know that that's a big struggle for a lot of people, especially if they just want to sing and don't want to take on the writing aspect, you know, of their music. But you took an interest in the writing. So talk about that.
The writing has been a new thing. I got really lucky to get connected with the publisher here in Nashville who set up the recording sessions for the Leave It Like It Is. So when I came in, it was kind of all set up. And I mean, that's a big thanks to Jill at LA. And Jim Cressman to help me put all that stuff together. And we recorded the album and did that. I moved shortly after and then formed a band after that. So yeah, we didn't play many shows together before we went on this tour. And so, you know, playing every night for two months, you're going to get that chemistry pretty quick and it's going to fall into place pretty quick.
Yeah, Jim's pretty good at that. He's great when it comes to working with a new artist and just getting that feel for what you need. And that's probably why he put you with George, because that's a pretty, you know, pretty great pairing for sure. You know, when it comes to the kind of music you're playing and, you know, the type of sound you want, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Now, on your brand new EP, the 5 tracks for New Ink brings that vulnerable side, you know, of what love is and breakups are and, you know, going through loss. And you've done that in a very unique way, you know, with this album, which is very radio friendly, you know, for sure. Because like we talk about what radio wants, and when you're starting out, that's tough. It's a tough balance because you still want to be, you know, creating the music you want to hear and what you want the fans to hear. But at the same time, when you're first starting out, radio kind of dictates quite a bit of what they're looking for to get onto radio. How did that feel for you starting out?
Well, I think with the streaming being so, so impactful right now, definitely helps. Because you can make whatever kind of song you want and there's a playlist for it somewhere.
And
you know, radio is always around and it will always probably be around. And I don't know. I don't think a heartbreak song or a sad song has to be boring. You know what I mean? So, these songs definitely spoke to me with, you know, past experiences and things like that. And I thought that it was just a great way to, you know, to talk about heartbreak. I mean, everybody goes through it. Most of us go through it. And I thought that there's, you know, a really fun way to say that and sing about it. And a song like Sync that's got such a groovy bass line.
Oh, huge.
You know, it it doesn't feel like a breakup song, but it is. And I just hope people can connect to it. And hopefully if you're having a bad day, that can help your day out a little bit.
Well, hell yeah. You've done that very, very well. Like streaming, you have mastered. And that's something that a lot of artists have been struggling with, you know, when they're first starting out, because they're counting on their new music being able to go out on the radio tours and then to be able to play their music live and hoping that that's how they connect, you know, being person to person. Now, streaming's how you did it.
Yeah. I mean, we had no other choice. So we had to. I have a great team. Distribution with Symphonic and just the marketing that my team has here in Nashville. I got Nathan and Nicole, Chelsea, and everybody else that just, it's super helpful when they can track it and see what's going on and really know when to put songs out and help me through that process.
Well, the analytics make all the difference in the world today. And, you know, congratulations to your team. Very, very well done. Because, you know, without that, you know, it makes all the difference in the world to whether or not you're going to be able to be recognized on Spotify, you know, when it comes to iTunes and, you know, Amazon Music. And you killed it. Absolutely killed it. And coming off of a year like this, you know, you've been at the top in the UK, which has got to feel pretty damn phenomenal.
Yeah, it was something that we had talked about, something that we were wanting to explore at some point, and to be able to do it like this and you know, have that kind of success with old money over there is pretty amazing. So I can't wait till we tour again and I can go overseas and participate in the festivals and do some shows over there in the UK.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something that they absolutely love. So let's let's talk about Born to Ride. So that was the very first song you released off this EP, New Ink, which was just released. And, you know, you just finished having your release party for it. But Born to Ride, you know, is such a cool story about picking your ride or die. Very unique way of saying this, and such a great song, and was received so well.
Yeah, I mean, the writers on there are monsters in Nashville. And so how this song came across my email, I don't know. But I definitely jumped on the opportunity. And I thought that, it's a notch above saying ride or die, because you're saying that this person was, you know, born for you or you were born for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on how life goes and the weird turns and journeys that it takes you to, you guys, you know, the characters in that song were meant to be together. And, you know, that's a place that is, I can relate to really, really, really well.
I think we all can, because at some point in time, you got to be able to look at it and say, okay, this just isn't, you know, a relationship. If it doesn't work out at some point in time when you're working through life's journey, which isn't easy. And, you know, that ride or die just talks about going through life and sticking together and knowing that, you know, it works if you just put your work into it. And it was such a great song. So let's play that one right now. So let's play the first single, Born to Ride, from your new EP, New Ink, on Music's Journey.
I'm that guy, the one your mama warned you about, baby. Hanging on, you have your arms around me, girl, and then we throw it in dry.
from New Ink. With more rock and soul, this album is bigger and louder than his last. That is Born to Ride. Now, back to the Music's Journey podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and her special guest, Manny Blue.
This song was written by some pretty top songwriters in Nashville, and that was Rhett Atkins and Ross Copperman and Josh Osborne. Doesn't get any better.
No, I don't think it does. You know, I got really lucky with the connection I made with our producer, Aaron Esses.
Mm-hmm.
He's a songwriter and producer with Smack, and he was able to get us a nice batch of songs, and this was in there. And it was hard to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to see who writes the songs before, like once I'm listening to them. So I just kind of get in and listen to them. And if there's something intriguing there, then I ask for the lyric sheet. And then once I get that, then I see who wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that came in, I was just mind blown.
Well, because too, I think for us on this show, it's really important to me to call out the songwriters, because a lot of artists sing the songs that they write and people don't even know who these guys are. And these guys are such top writers in Nashville, and they deserve that shout out.
They most certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Now, another song that you released off this new EP we were just talking about that was so huge in the UK, and that's Old Money. Talk about that.
Old Money was an awesome song written by Aaron Esses, who's the producer, has the sound of the direction that I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy when a guy who's producing the album wrote the song and put the demo together, and I just could go, hey, that's kind of the whole thing that I want. And he's like, all right, cool.
Well, because so, that brings out all that bluesy stuff that you love so much.
Yep, exactly. And I think, you know, taking the imagery of that everlasting love and put it into that sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the imagery was unbelievable and the way it was written. And, you know, you don't hear many love songs being, referred to as kind of as money. And I think the whole thing is the everlasting love.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting, like, it kind of fits with the Born to Ride thing, right? Where, you know, it's just this journey of life together and dealing with the ups and downs.
And it's a cool time for this to have come out too, because a lot of people can relate right now and being able to refocus and get away from life's problems and refocus back in on the love that you have in your life and the support that's there. And it's a pretty cool song. And I think that's why so many people related to it. I love the hook in this song.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, but I think it's a fun sing-along. I think everybody can sing with it. You know, we love playing it every night, and it's every time we get a chance to. So it's a really cool song. I really like it.
Let's play this one right now. So for those who haven't heard Manny Blue's new EP, New Ink, and this was a big hit for him, called Old Money. So let's play that right now.
It's a champagne toast in the back of a limousine. New dress on heirloom diamond ring. Slow ride through a heaven high iron gate. Stone fountain at the end of the driveway. Jade on standby, full tank ready to fly. Million acres, horses we'd never ride. Hedge fund, yacht club, high fashion. Islands in the winter, summers in the Hamptons. We ain't gotta worry about nothing. Me and you, girl, our love is like old money. Our love is like gonna be this rich, might as well be us. You can call it fate, you can call it luck. Ain't no doubt, baby, what we have is gonna outlast our grandkids, grandkids. We ain't gotta worry about nothing. Me and you, girl, our love is like old money. Our love is like old. We ain't never gone broke,
no.
Can't use it all up, cause baby I know. We ain't gotta worry about nothing.
You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast. That is Old Money from the new EP, New Ink, from Manny Blue. Now back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
It's so hard for artists to come out and redefine what love is to them that people haven't heard before, or breakups, or, you know, just life issues. And yeah. I think everybody wants to move people through their own experiences. And I think that's what connects. And Aaron did a good job with this song. Really good job. How was it for you when you, like you said, this song really connected with you? What about your personal experiences and how you connected with the song?
Well, I mean, I was in a 5-year relationship with somebody before I came down to Nashville. And I was when I was 19 years old. So, you know, that from, you know, 5 years, not, you know, you're with somebody from 19 to 24. You think that that's going to be the, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, luckily we're back together, so that's great. And so she's inspiration in just about everything. You know, when you go through it and you feel that, or a song comes to you and you can go back to that place, I think it's super special. So that's what I felt with Old Money, and I definitely didn't want to let that one go.
I'm so happy for you that you recorded that one, and it's really going to do some really great things when you get to play this live. And I know the fans are going to be out there because it's got an anthem feel to it as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I can just see everybody out in the audience just singing that one right back to you.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get to do that. We played it in Toronto at Rockin' Horse just before the COVID hit, and people were dancing to it and singing, and it wasn't even out yet. So, you know, when people are singing it to Old Money and Ain't Got You, which is also on New Ink, they're dancing and they got their beer up. They're, you know, they're swaying, they're having a good time. I mean, that's a pretty good signal that the songs are going to connect, especially once they come out and people get to hear it and can come to the show, you know, already knowing the song.
And you got something special too, you know, when it comes to performing and, you know, the song, or like when you're singing the song, your vocals are very distinct. That's unique when you're listening to the radio, and we definitely know that's you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's pretty.
I've heard that a couple of times, and that's always a nice thing to hear and a huge compliment that I take very, very seriously.
So how does it feel now, you know, just releasing this one? Because you just had your release party. Talk about that.
The release party was awesome. Sixth and Peabody here in Nashville did a really good job of making sure everything was social distanced. They weren't serving any drinks or anything if you were standing up. So, you know, you had to be sitting at a table. And just getting to be on stage again with the guys is just, you know, there's no feeling like it. You can rehearse and everything can go well and then get on stage. And, you know, sometimes there's obstacles on stage too.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything just comes together, I think Eric Church says it in the song. And just when everything comes together musically and emotionally, there's just nothing like that. And we were able to experience that again before the end of 2020.
Has your grandfather, was he able to see you sing?
He hasn't come out to a show, but he when we did family events and stuff, my grandparents wanted me to bring my guitar. So they've heard me sing a kind of acoustic, whether it was at their house or there was, what are they? There's a duo in a restaurant one time, and they actually knew, my grandparents actually knew these two guys. There was a guitar player and a accordion.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother asked the guitar player if he can let me play his guitar, and she asked me to play one of my songs that she really likes. And I got to do that. So they've got to see me play. I get to, you know, go over to the house and play acoustically. But one day it'll be nice to get them out to a show, and they can see the whole production.
That'll be a pretty amazing journey, you know, for your grandfather. Bring back a lot of memories for him, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. It's tough when you can't play. And, you know, you guys are doing live music, you know, streaming, whether or not you guys get to do some stuff over the internet, it's not the same thing, you know, as being able to stand in front of an audience. So, you know, it was nice that you were able to do that in Toronto, you know, and get that feel. Yeah. And be on the stage, but you weren't performing these songs, but you got an opportunity with George too. But be able to get out there and do that and do the live stream and finally be together performing this thing had to have been pretty surreal.
It was. It was, and the way it worked out, I had to, it was just three guys on stage, and we were the two guys I started this whole thing with when I came down to Nashville. So, you know, just to be able to get to be there and look at each other and just have each other's backs and know that we're the only three that we have to rely on each other. So got to go out and make it happen.
Having that bond with the guys is pretty important. And you hear a lot of the bands talk about it because nobody knows the ups and downs that you go through every day better than your band. And, yeah. It's not an easy journey. And let's face it, you know, like when you're independent and you're coming out and you're paying for the recording and you're doing, you know, your EP and then your radio tours, it's really, really expensive. And to leave a job and to go for this chase of this dream, it's such a huge leap and such a big journey for you and decisions that you've made. What's the biggest hurdle that you've had so far?
Oh, it's been a few. You know, when you're in a band, you're constantly dealing with characters, different personalities and different characters. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have these two guys, Dan Barry and Joe Duino, are my guys, and they were the first two guys that I became friends with in Nashville. That, you know, we would call each other up and go to the bar and go have some fun. So they've had my back no matter what. And on the Canyon tour, I ended up losing my voice a little bit.
Oh.
And we were able to find workarounds and you know, they said, don't worry about it. We'll figure this out. We got your back. Mm-hmm. And we didn't miss a show. And that's, you know, a big thanks to, you know, I think parts determination, mm-hmm. But also having a band and some leadership behind me that will not let us miss a show.
It's difficult for a singer, excuse me, like me right now. I go through it with my voice just from everything I've gone through. And, you know, everybody talks about that. That's your moneymaker. So it's very difficult and a lot of pressure, you know, when you're singing the vocals and you're going up there. And it's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people get so nervous. What are you like before you go up on stage?
I'm excited. I just you know, maybe an hour out, you're kind of just like, all right, let's just get going here. I'm tired of waiting. I just want to go. I always find that the one-off shows like we played on Friday are a little more nerve-wracking just because there's no other show. Mm-hmm. It's one thing you've been working, you know, we've been working for about 2 months now trying to get this thing together since I've been back in Nashville. And I know what the band's abilities are, and we just all want to be able to, you know, perform at our best. And that's where it all comes. You know, when you're on tour and you're in the groove and you get it and you sing the night before and you're singing tomorrow night, you know what, you know, you have a good idea where your voice is. It becomes more of a normal thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like a one shot, one show, one, you know. It's what you do every day.
Well, the bigger bands, yeah, like the bigger artists, you know, and any artist actually, usually don't tape until it's their third mm-hmm. show, because there's a reason for that. And, you know, that's because everybody warms up. They, you know, get to know each other. If you got to pick something up, you know, you can tackle that in the next practice before you go on stage. And when you're going like this, like you said, working so hard, it's the first time everybody's seeing the band, you know, together playing the new music. It's, you know, it's a lot of pressure. Are you hard on yourself, you know, when it comes to your vocals?
Yeah, I think so. I think I also understand there's a lot going on. There's often circumstances that you know, it's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm realistically hard on myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's to constantly bring yourself down is not good either.
Nope.
But just to know where the holes are and where the improvements need to be and doing it.
Yeah. And you just move with it. Like George, you know, can tell you that. Anybody that's singing, you know, can tell you that. It's like you're going to have those moments and you just don't even think about it and get up the next day and you just do what you got to do. Right.
That's right.
And, you know,
we listen back to it and you could feel really good about something and listen back and be like, oh, you know what, it wasn't what I thought, or it was better than I thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, one way or the other. And it's just a matter of why did this one come together so well this time? Or, oh, you know what, that was a little, you know, that wasn't tight, or that wasn't sharp.
Mm-hmm.
So let's maybe fix that little part.
And that's all about honing in your craft. And that's, you know, 100%. Really all it is, right? Same thing with writing and same thing with getting out there and performing. You learn as you grow. And and you guys are doing such a good job. Let's talk about Sync, because this one is your latest single that came off of your brand new EP just before you released it. And that's a pretty great song. And I love the feel for this song. And, you know, let's play it right now first, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Let's play Sync off Manny Blue's new EP, New Ink, right here on Music's Journey.
Still here, a slamming door, and the engine revving pedal on the floor, and I don't love you anymore, shooting off of your lips. The way you're tearing up that gravel road, you took all my records and all your clothes, you got me thinking where the kind of broke that'll never be fixed. It's just the sound of a summer rain, smack smacking on the window pane. Coming at me like a bullet train with a whole lot of pain, pain, pain. I'm gonna sink to the bottom of this bottle of Jack. I'm gonna drink to your memory, cause you're never ever coming back. I'm gonna break a broken heart in every white wall in this house. Round and round, trying to dry, pour it out, watching our love go down the sink. Watching it all. Sunshine's about to go black. It ain't the yellow thing that's getting low. Let the bad times roll and dig a hole till I'm deep down in the dark. I'm gonna sit here thinking about what I've done. I'm gonna keep on thinking about what I've done. I wanna know what you're thinking about what I've done. I don't really care anymore. By the time I sink to the bottom of this bottle of Jack, I'm gonna drink to your memory, cause you're never ever coming back.
From New Ink, that is Manny Blue, the outlaw country rocker with Sync. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Now you got titles Rising Country Star for this one, for, you know, the release of the single. Talk about that.
I was at rehearsal when I was told about it. And it's just, anytime you get, you know, that kind of accolade from either a media or an industry person or a combination of the two, I mean, it's always means a lot, you know. It always means a lot, and I'm grateful that people are liking the album and liking that song.
Yeah, same thing, you know, when it comes to how well you did in the UK, you know, for Old Money, because you got UK's Country Radio Hits Champion of the Week. Yeah. So this album has got one hell of a start to it before you released it. And this is, you know, such a great, great opportunity here, you know, for fans. If you listen to this new EP for Manny Blue. Remember, these are the three songs that you're hearing right now that you've been listening to on radio and that have been received so well, thanks to you, you know, for all the live streaming that you guys are doing. So don't forget to purchase it, share it, and stream it. You know, the artists count on you for that. If there's a song that's on this EP that you don't hear on the radio, you guys have the power to make that change, because the moment you start streaming it, that's how Spotify and Amazon and all the streaming platforms recognize how well an EP is doing. And you can make all the difference in the world to how this EP does. And I know the fan base is huge out there. So don't forget to purchase and download this new EP by Manny Blue. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, we really, really, really appreciate everything you're putting out there. Now, I want to get into some of the stuff that you're going to be doing next, because I know you just finished doing your release party. What's coming up now?
So on the Leave It Like It Is album, we did a live and unplugged version of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking that idea, and we're going to do a live and turned up type of thing.
Oh, cool.
Where there's going to be some new songs. I'll be doing some rock covers of songs I really like. And just a way for us to play really loud.
Awesome.
And have a lot of fun. So we're going to have that coming out early 2021, I believe.
Okay. So that's really great for fans to be able to look forward to, because that's not that far away when you think about it.
No, it's not. It's not. And I had this idea to do something a little louder and a little, you know, showing a little bit of the rock vocals that I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I want to kind of show off a little bit. So, it's going to come out with a new song. There's some guys here in Nashville from a band that had released it and taken it down. And, I really liked it. And they let me record it now as an original. So, I can't wait to have that song out.
Oh, you're going to let us know when that happens, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because we'd love to have you on to talk about that, because I love, like, when you release Sync, you know, that one has really done well again, streaming. There isn't anything that you haven't done that hasn't done well streaming. Let's put that straight, because you've done over 500,000 global streams. So that's a pretty big feat, you know, when you're talking about a new artist, you know, that's out, you know, with just your second EP. Like, this is your sophomore album, but this is pretty incredible. You know, to be able to be received like that, and especially globally. And but Sync was such a cool song. And, you know, that, like as you said, that groovy blues and that grovelly voice that you have, like, it's just perfect, absolutely perfect combination.
Yeah, when I, you know, I was really focused on sound for this EP.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I definitely want to do something different. So a lot of my mind was like, I want this to sound this specific way. I want this album's gonna sound like this, you know, it's gonna have these types of songs and how it's gonna be. And then Sync came along and it just doesn't fit anything. And I was like, oh man, this, I don't even know what to do with this. So it took me a second. I remember I was on vacation with my family when I received the batch of songs that had Sync in it. I remember I was on the beach and I listened to it and I took my headphones out and told my brother, I said, this song is unbelievable. And I had him listen to it and he loved it right off the bat. My dad, I think it's one of my dad's favorite songs that I've ever recorded.
Mm.
So he really couldn't wait for that one to come out.
And again, this song fits really well for a lot of people right now when it comes to, you know, dealing with life and dealing with relationships and, you know, having that drink that you pour your feelings into the bottle, that goes right down the sink, is what you say, right? So
that's right.
Talk about the meaning behind this song.
It's the heartbreak thing. I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of us go through it. I know when some of my buddies go through breakups, a lot of them call me. I seem to be the go-to drinking buddy.
Oh.
but, you know, I think that I've been there too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you end up, you know, trying to help yourself out a little bit, maybe with a glass of Jack Daniels or a couple of beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that we were able to put it in a good way that is fun to listen to, that you can connect with if, you know, you're going through a breakup and you feel down about it. Hopefully you can connect to the song.
Oh, I think so.
And it can make you feel better, and hopefully it helps.
Coming out the other side of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think this is pretty cool. So I think you've done an absolutely great job on this EP. So I think the fans are absolutely going to love it. And I think that they're already showing that. So there's no doubt about that. So that's got to feel pretty damn good. Really good.
It does.
Do you have any more live streaming coming up?
Live streaming right now, we don't. We're hoping that, I'm just hopeful that we can get things opened up a little bit. And if there are more venues like 6th and Peabody that are distancing pretty good and have a nice stage for us to play on, then we're definitely going to try to grab those opportunities wherever and whenever we can.
That looks like a pretty cool venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times just for drinks. They have, it's a brewery, so they make their own beers, and they have the Moonshine Distillery as well.
Oh, do they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the back, Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smoky Moonshine Distillery.
Oh, pretty.
And so I've been there a couple of times just for a fun night out, and always thought that stage looked great.
Yeah,
the outdoor stage as well. We were actually supposed to play outdoors, but the weather didn't permit it, so we moved to the inside stage. Either way, I'd like to go back and play that stage again and play outdoors finally at some point.
Let's hope in the springtime.
Yes.
You know, that would be so good if we could come off of all of this that's going on right now and be able to come out in the spring and just for everybody just to have that new start.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I know a lot of the artists talk about this being an even playing field, and it's true. A lot of the bigger artists, you know, that have that opportunity to be able to do a lot more than what you guys can, you know, when you're first starting out. But now with COVID, it's really leveled out the playing field.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Big artists still have the big followings and can get things out and have an impact. And, you know, a lot of them are doing really good things and, encouraging being responsible when you go out and constantly putting out music. And I mean, there's no reason to never want an artist to put out music, right? So I think that, it's sort of even, but the big guys that have big followings are still putting out songs, and their songs are still doing well. And, that's just the way it goes.
They might be putting out the songs and that, but when it comes to the newer artists, the social media, you know, is really in your corner. And, you know, for you guys to be able to get on there and connect with your fans, I know it's not the same thing. And it's hard when you're sitting there trying to perform and trying to connect. It's weird when you're looking through a computer and you're looking at, you know, somebody texting you a question, but it's also a unique opportunity as well.
There's a lot of unique opportunities. I got to do our Blue Crew Happy Hour, which was designed to be on the road and to go into like days off, you know, go into breweries and stuff and meet local artists. And I got to meet artists in Ontario. I got to meet artists in Ohio and we were in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to do a few more of those. During COVID, we were able to switch that to an online thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet tons of awesome artists, probably people either that I got to meet because of it or got to hang out with a little bit and play some songs with because we were never able to be at the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, we didn't have to be. And I got a big, created a good friendship with David Boyd James because of it. And he's unbelievable.
He's a go-getter. He's one of my favorites. And such a genuine, unbelievable, humble guy.
We had so much fun on that on the broadcast, and we had him on twice.
Oh, nice!
And he didn't stop making me laugh. Even we have, while you know other people were playing or whatever else was going on, we have a little chat section, and he was making everybody laugh, and he was encouraging everybody, and. It's pretty cool. So hopefully I get to tour with him at some point.
I know he's got another one coming up. It's going to be around the 13th, 15th of December that I'm going to be hosting for him.
Awesome.
And he's going to be doing a live performance, but he is such a go-getter. And if you ever get a chance to perform with him again, holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when things like that get to happen, and you get to connect with somebody that easily. It's pretty cool. So it'd be great to do a tour with them and maybe record a song with them. Who knows?
Oh, that would be so good, wouldn't it? Because you guys would match really well.
I think so. I think it'd be a fun thing to do.
Well, we'll manifest that one. We'll manifest that one. Yeah, I'll mention that one to David when I talk to him today.
Sounds good.
That's awesome. Now we're going to go into the question answer period and then we'll wrap things up here because I know you got to get going. But we really, really appreciate it. But are you okay to do some question answer?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Best advice your grandfather's ever given you in chasing this dream?
My grandfather's always just been about being a good person.
Awesome.
So it's not always music based, but you know, knowing his story and knowing, you know, what he's gone through, and how humble he is and how kind he is to everybody, is pretty cool. So, you know, he always just made sure that he always asked if we're okay, if we're happy, and to be a good person. So, I mean, I think that's pretty simple, but I think it's pretty important at the same time.
Best advice you can get in life.
Yeah.
Best moment so far.
Best moment. Wow, we've had a few pretty cool ones. Hearing somebody sing back your song.
Cool.
You know, or a group of people sing the song back to you.
That's awesome.
It's been pretty unreal.
That's gotta be tops. That's gotta be great. What does success look like for Manny Blue?
Making an impact. Okay. You know, making people feel good. My favorite thing to do is play live. And if I can play, you know, to the most amount of people, the biggest venues, the biggest shows, and make all those people feel good at one time, I think that would be pretty cool.
Favorite band of all time?
Ooh. I'm going to have to go as a band,
mm-hmm.
straight up band and not an artist.
Either
I would
one.
Have a tie between Hailstorm and Motley Crue.
Ooh, nice. Some old school in there.
Yeah, of course.
Favorite song that you wish you wrote?
Slow Dancing in a Burning Room, John Mayer.
Ooh, that one didn't take long at all. That was right out the gate.
No, it did not. You know what? I've always said that. I said, this is a song I wish I wrote. And I said, if anyone was ever going to ask me that question, it'd be very easy to answer.
Best gift so far or memory of 2020?
Oh, best memory. As weird and as uncomfortable perhaps as it might have been for some people, the early stages of lockdown, I got to spend a lot of time with my brother. And we got to, you know, when nobody knew what was going on, we would play card games and board games and stuff at home, and there wasn't much else to do. You had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But to get this, I'm really close to my brother, and to get to spend that much quality time with him was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, you know, when we go through life, and life is so fast paced, and especially for you right now, because you're writing, you're recording, you're going to the next step. It's just so busy, and for writers and singers to be able to have that time off and to be able to kick back and just breathe, it's not heard of very often. And for you to be able to spend that time with your brother is pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
There's so many fans out there that relate to musicians facing tough times, and that has been a huge movement lately, you know, when it comes to mental illness and talking about addictions and just stresses in life, you know, love, mm-hmm. loss. What song stands out for you that helped you through a difficult time?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would have to say, honestly, the whole Born and Raised album by John Mayer is just so soothing. And it's, I don't know what about that album is, but there's something calming and soothing about it.
Hmm.
And I think that anyone going through anything, I mean, if you're in a great mood, the songs are fun and they feel like they're upbeat and they're catchy And if you're sad or you're going through something, they feel like they slow down, and you get to really sit in that moment. And there's something about his acoustic guitar playing and his voice that just it feeds the soul really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree with that. Words have power, don't they?
Certainly do.
What inspires you the most?
I'm wanting to make everybody proud. Whoever has been, had my back and been encouraging me from the very beginning when I set out to make this a career. So, there'd be no better feeling than to have, my family and my really close friends who've been super supportive from the beginning out at a show one day when I'm playing an arena. Hmm. And I get to look over and be like, look, this is what we got to do.
Awesome. One place that you would love to see?
Australia.
Hmm.
I haven't been yet.
One place I would love to go to too.
Definitely a place I want to go play, but I think it'll also be a fun trip. And especially when I'm so close to the band, it's like you're with your friends all the time. So I think it'll be really fun sightseeing as well as also playing, which is our favorite thing to do anyway.
Hmm. Great place. Okay, here's a fun one for you. So favorite food or meal that you grew up with?
My dad's steak.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my dad's, I'd call him master of the grill.
I want to come to your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
John's favorite meal.
Still bring it up. I think we were in grade 7 or 8. And they're like, man, I remember when I came over to your house. And your dad made that steak. That was unbelievable.
What's it like at your house for Christmas? What's your meal?
It changes depending on the year, depending on, who's around and what we've got going on. For the longest time, we used to go to Mexico every year. And then, that area kind of got unsafe with all the stuff going on there. So it's been different, but I don't even remember. I mean, I just really enjoy spending time with everybody just enjoying ourselves.
Are you going to be able to go home this year?
Well, so my parents actually got a place in Miami, and I'm moving to a different condo here in Nashville. So they're going to come mid-December. They're going to help me move, and then I'm going to join them in Miami.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So I'll get to spend time with them and with my brother, and we'll get to all hang out together and really have a cool couple of days.
Perfect Christmas gift. Christmas gift.
Yes.
Okay. So this one, if you had only one more time that you could ever perform, where would it be and what song would you sing?
Oh my God. the Ryman Auditorium. And if I would be able to learn The Thrill Is Gone.
Oh,
very cool. Play that song, and you can extend the solo for 13 minutes if you want.
More time on stage.
And really, and really take it in.
That is awesome. That's such a great answer. Great answer. I thought you might have taken a little bit longer on that one. I was like, nope, right there. So you definitely know where you want to go. So what a journey you've had so far, and I'm really, really excited for you and the band, and I can't wait till you can perform live again for all of your fans. So we really look forward to that being in a real hurry, we hope, and not as long as it's been. So really hope you guys get to be able to play out on stage, and really hope that this EP does so well for you in the next couple weeks and in next couple months. So brand new EP, New Ink, and that is by Manny Blues. So if you hadn't got it, download it, purchase it, and share it. And what great stocking stuffers right now too.
He's got a lot of great stuff on his merch page too, all kinds of shirts and albums and stuff. Yeah, pretty cool merch page.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
So we talked about any shows. What about videos? Is there anything like that coming up?
Music video for Old Money should be coming out at some point soon.
Keep us informed so I can put that up on the magazine for you.
Yes, I will make sure that I get over to you guys.
Okay, and we're going to keep our ear out for that new single that you've been talking about. Can you tell us what the name of it is?
It's called 95.
Okay. 95. So that's a new one. So can you tell us anything about it? A little bit?
It's a rock song.
Okay.
With country feel.
Awesome.
And it's cranked up and it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Remind everybody where they can catch up on your latest news and music.
You can go to my website, MannyBlueMusic.com. Blue is B-L-U, no E. And you can sign up to the Blue Crew, get the newsletter, and stay up to date with everything we've got going on. My Instagram is at MannyBlueMusic. And I have a text button there that you can send me a message, and all a bunch of news will come your way when we have it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really, really appreciate it. And we love hearing, you know, artists' life story, and we'll certainly be following you.
Well, thank you so much. And I do appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me and promoting the album.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'll be watching you and we'll be following you for sure. So we'll have you back on the show. We really look forward to it.
Thank you so much. And let David Boy James know I say what's up next time you see him.
We're talking to him. I'll talk to him later on today. So I'll definitely do that for you.
I can finally say I'm getting some new ink and have it not mean a tattoo.
Well, yesterday I ended up getting a tattoo for it. I ended up getting a tattoo machine.
Oh, really?
A tattoo of a tattoo machine, and it says new ink next to it.
You got to show me that one.
That's cool. New ink of new ink.
I thought it was funny.
You definitely have to send us a little photo of that.
I will.
Okay, don't forget to send me that video if you've got that video with George Canyon.
Yes, I'll send you that video and I'll send you a photo.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Take care, Manny.
Have a great holiday.
You too. You guys as well.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for my very special guest, Canadian country artist Manny Blue, for stopping by the show here today at Music's Journey. You can hear the show at musicsjourney.com, and I would love to thank all of our fans out there. We really appreciate it, and I want to thank Now and Then Magazine for hosting the show and letting us do our thing, so we really appreciate it. You can read the article for Manny Blue, and that will include this interview and all the new music and videos that he's put out there and all the ways that you can connect with my very special guest, Manny Blue. So thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you on the flip side of Music's Journey.
Once again, a big thank you to Manny Blue, the outlaw country rocker, for being with us today. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and share us on all your socials. You can check us out on Spotify,
Deezer,
Podchasers,
Stitches,
FM Player, and all your favorite podcast downloadable places. On our upcoming podcast, we'll be chatting with Andy Kim, The Recklaws, Jason Blaine, Kim Mitchell, David Boy James will return, Jason Blaine, and more. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell, and it's performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.